I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. In just a moment, we are going to turn to the controversy over phone hacking at the British Sunday tabloid News of the World. But I want to mention, for those of you interested in the launch of the Space Shuttle, that WNYC is streaming live video of the launch when it begins. It is scheduled by NASA, weather permitting, to launch at 11:26 a.m. And our own Sotirios Johnson is hosting an online chat. It is happening right now. Who knew? Sotirios Johnson, a big space junkie. Well, anyway, you can join him and any other WNYC shuttle fans for live video and an online chat. The online chat is happening right now. And again, the space shuttle is set to launch at 11:26 a.m. That's at our homepage, WNYC.org. And those of you who are multitaskers can do all of that while you listen to our next segment, which is on the controversy over phone hacking and the British Sunday tabloid News of the World, which has taken a new twist in the last 2 days. Yesterday, media mogul Rupert Murdoch, who owns News of the World, announced that the newspaper would print its very last issue on Sunday, and that the allegations of corruption and phone hacking have destroyed the paper's reputation. Now, that development is a huge, huge development. The prime minister's former press spokesman has been arrested. That's a new development today. And he is being questioned by police about allegations of corruption and phone hacking attached to him. Another former editor has been rearrested and is also being questioned. Andy Coulson is the prime minister's former press spokesman. Now, if you're confused about what all of this means, you can picture this. Imagine if one of the largest and most widely read tabloids here in the U.S. had been hacking into the phones of celebrities here, politicians, soldiers from Afghanistan and Iraq, the victims of high-profile murder cases, and even impeding the police investigation of those crimes. Well, this week it was revealed that the tabloid had hacked into the phone of a young missing girl, let's say Elizabeth Smart here in the U.S., and that it may have routinely paid police for information to weave into their coverage. The police investigation into the hacking had been questioned because the owner of the tabloid, Rupert Murdoch, had such close ties to the government. Now, on a political level, and this is where the scandal really heats up, imagine if one of our presidential spokesmen had been a deputy editor of that paper at the time of the hacking and was at the center of the allegations and had to resign several months ago, pulling the president and his party into the maelstrom. Well, that's exactly what's happening in the UK. That's the controversy they're grappling with now. Joining us to decipher what it all means for Britain and maybe even for us is Sarah Ellison, contributing editor for Vanity Fair. She is also the author of War at the Wall Street Journal, Inside the Struggle to Control an American Business Empire. Hello, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, your War at the Wall Street Journal is all about Rupert Murdoch's effort and successful bid to purchase that paper. And so you are the perfect guest for us today, correct?
Well, thank you. I hope so.
All right. So this is, I want to begin by asking you to talk a little bit. Of course, the parallels in the United States are not perfect, but for the sake of nearly everyone listening now who has perhaps not heard of News of the World before this scandal, can you explain the significance of this tabloid? Because it is hugely significant there in the UK, is it not? Is there any equivalent here in the United States?
You know, it's funny, when I was preparing to come on the show, I was trying to think of an equivalent in the United States, and so I sort of threw out a query on Twitter to see if anyone could think of anything or help me come up with the equivalent, and there were all sorts of answers, but it was basically a merger of the New York Post, TMZ, Gawker, and the National Enquirer might be something like what the News of the World is in the UK, which just means that it occupies such a broad footprint of what people are hearing about and reading, mm-hmm. and the sort of celebrity news that they're getting. There isn't an equivalent here that you can think of in one outlet, but if you combined a bunch of celebrity news organizations and wrap them into one and gave them huge reach, I think that's what you would get.
And the only distinction perhaps being that the News of the World is very long-standing. It's been publishing for 168 years, right?
Absolutely. So there's a huge history there. I also think what's difficult for people to understand is if you have, I mean, you made the comparison or the idea, you mentioned this notion that if the press secretary of the United States had been a former editor at that newspaper, it's as if the editor of the National Enquirer were Barack Obama's press secretary right now. It's as if Jay Carney hadn't worked for Time magazine, but he had worked for the National Enquirer. And so that sort of puts the whole country in a different context. I mean, I think that the embarrassing thing about this phone hacking scandal is it kind of makes Britain look a little bit like a banana republic. Mm. And I think that's something that's one of the reasons why there's so much soul searching going on there right now.
Yeah, and I want to come back to that that sort of interlinking, that connection between the political and the tabloid in just a moment. I do want to mention to our listeners that we're talking about sales reach of about 2.8 million copies per week.
Right.
And that's just to give a comparison, because as you say, there really is not a comparable tabloid here. But the Wall Street Journal has a circulation of 2.1 million, USA
right.
Today 1.8 million, and mm-hmm. Time Magazine only 79,000 copies. I just had to put
right.
that out there so people
right.
can get yeah. some context.
Exactly.
And we want our listeners to call in, especially any listeners from the UK or from elsewhere who, for whatever reason, read the News of the World and are following this controversy. Give a call. Give the rest of us who are just now hearing about the significance of this tabloid your analysis. The lines are open, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What do you think of the end of the News of the World? What does it mean for Rupert Murdoch, News Corp? And I guess that should be my next question for you, Sarah. What is the significance for Rupert Murdoch, who shuttered News of the World yesterday? It seemed very precipitous, and presumably he did this to limit the catastrophic effect that it was having on News Corp, right? Is it going to work?
Yes, I think that, I mean, this was clearly a measure that was taken to try to draw a line under this scandal. And what's been interesting is that at every stage, the company has tried to, they think they're taking a dramatic measure, and they try to draw the line under this and have it all stop, and it hasn't worked. And I think it hasn't worked at any stage. There have been three or four different lines of defense, and they've all fallen. I think that this is so far the most dramatic move that they've made, but it's I think we are already seeing that the scandal is continuing. Certainly today, the Prime Minister was very forceful in the way that he was talking about how there needed to be public inquiries into this, and how he would have accepted Rebecca Brooks's resignation if she had offered it to him. Rebecca Brooks is, of course, the CEO of the entire newspaper operation mm-hmm. in the UK. I think that the closure of the paper is somewhat cynical on News Corp's part, because it's a PR move that they hope will stop the scandal. But I also think that what they're trying to do is get rid of all the problematic people and practices that might actually know something about this and might still be guilty of doing these kinds of things. So it represents something that, for them to take this kind of dramatic action, it means that we don't know. They know something we don't know
mm-hmm.
in terms of what's still there. They've been trying to position this as a scandal that happened back in the early 2000s. But I think what I'm hearing and what I think we haven't fully comprehended is this is still going on
right.
at a lot of newspapers. And so I think what's frightening about this issue is that we still only know a very little bit, and that's what people in the United States find so worrying, is they think, could this happen here?
Or is this happening here?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I mean, of course.
I have to ask, you raised Jay Carney. I actually had him in my notes, but very carefully avoided mentioning his name in my intro. But that's the obvious comparison to the fellow who was arrested, Andy Coulson, yesterday. He is the prime minister's former press chief. Jay Carney hails from Time magazine. He was the Washington bureau chief. He's currently President Barack Obama's White House press secretary. Before that, he was Joe Biden's press secretary, or communications director, I think is the better title under Biden. And the question, the obvious question with regard to the UK and the prime minister's former press chief, is why this fellow Coulson, a former tabloid editor who had resigned from his position after the phone hacking scandal first hit in 2007, why was he chosen to be the prime minister's spokesman? Was there nobody from the BBC available, or perhaps the Financial Times? It seems a rather odd nexus.
Well, this is where you get to the very interesting point about the position of Rupert Murdoch and his news organizations in the culture in Britain and the level of influence that his outlets have there. And I think that one of the answers to why you would appoint a tabloid editor to that role is simply because he is part, not simply, but you know, he's very much a part of that very powerful organization that has courted politicians, and politicians have likewise courted the Murdoch press at all levels. It's definitely an odd. To us, it seems like a very odd choice. Of course, David Cameron, who is now the prime minister, has stood behind that selection, even now, which is sort of surprising. He said at the time that he was going to give Andy Coulson a second chance, when Andy Coulson had to resign from his position under Cameron, he said that the second chance wasn't working. But it speaks to the relationships between politicians and the tabloid press, mm-hmm. which I don't think we experience here in the same way. I think that we have a certain disdain for tabloids here, even though they're very powerful. They don't infiltrate the corridors of power the way that they do in the UK.
Yeah, certainly not at the national level, perhaps in certain municipalities.
Exactly.
Perhaps even our own. Let's take some calls. We have Sheila from New Rochelle. Sheila, my guest is Sarah Ellison. She is the contributing editor for Vanity Fair, and you are on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, ladies. As you can hear, I'm British, and in fact, I live in London and New York and have been a foreign correspondent around the world for years. But I feel I have to say this. The News of the World has never been treated with any respect. And its other name since school days is Screws of the World, because they deliberately publish lies to provoke, you know, controversy. Entrapment has been a well-known aspect of one of its techniques. Just take Sarah Ferguson, for example. That was part of this scandal. And the phone hacking is awful. And what they did was awful. However, I just have to say this. This is about the Murdoch Communications global empire. And I think it would be a mistake to be too complacent in the Americas, because what makes you think they're not using these techniques here?
Sheila, may I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
You said you are a correspondent.
Yes.
Do you mean in journalism, a news correspondent?
Well, it's actually science is my background. And if I tell you, I'm a fellow in New Media at Columbia Graduate School of Journalism, and I'm also a fellow of the Royal Institution in Great Britain. I tend to cover health issues, but because I've also been posted to the Middle East, and as you can hear, have an opinion about everything, have covered politics as well. I went to one of those schools where we women had no boundaries.
You seem to think that this is only the tip of the iceberg.
Well, I suspect it's been going on for a long time. What I do like, and okay, I've lived all over the world, so I can be objective about Britain. I do think in Britain we are open to self-criticism much more than in the United States. There is corruption here. The wrong people are appointed to positions of power, as we don't have to go back very far to have a look. What concerns me is, obviously, hacking into phone accounts is a breach of cell phone, you know, security. And that's, I think, the big story. How did they do that? And is it going on anywhere else?
All right. Well, excellent, Sheila. Thank you so much for that call. And I'm going to ask you, Sarah, about that in just a moment, precisely that question. But let me first take a call from Judah in Westchester, New York, which I think may play well with Sheila's comment. Judah, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was just going to say there is a more direct parallel with the New York Post. You mentioned that the World News was around for 130 years. Well, actually, the New York Post has been around for about 230 years. It was founded by Alexander Hamilton. And I'm sure the change in emphasis comes directly from Rupert Murdoch, that it wasn't as lascivious in its history.
Thank you very much, Judah. I didn't realize it was an Alexander Hamilton publication originally, and I consider myself a bit of a founding father's buff, so I've learned something, as I always do, from our listeners.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Just to comment on the previous caller, it is more direct. There is an agenda that who knows what's going on, and it's direct. You know, it allows for, let's say,
All right, Judah.
That's the journalistic standards. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I need to come back to Sarah because, Sarah, I want you to comment on whether this may just be the tip of the iceberg in the few seconds we have left.
I think that that's a real, I mean, I think that that's probably very likely. There's a lot more to come out on not just voicemail hacking, but people being able to hack into email accounts. And certainly we've seen lots of that in outside of news organizations lately, but I think that there's a very real risk that that's happening now, and that we do just see the tip of the iceberg. This scandal is worrying, not only of course for what we know, but for very much the reason that we don't know very much about it. And I think that I think there's much more to come, and for that reason, I think we're going to be hearing about this for many, many more weeks.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being with us today on this day of the announcement, or day after the announcement of the shuttering of News of the World. And I imagine you'll be reporting on it, continuing to report on it for Vanity Fair, contributing editor for Vanity Fair, Sarah Ellison. Thank you very much for being with us. She is also author of War at the Wall Street Journal, and we will leave it there. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. Coming up, we are going to try and dip into a bit of the space shuttle, and then we will be talking about the trial of Roger Clemens. Stay with us.